We are going to be talking about the word empty, for obvious reasons. But empty, how many of you have experienced in these last months an empty gas tank? Anybody? How about, have you experienced, like I have, when you went to the cupboard to get your favorite cereal, Cocoa Puffs, only to find that it's empty because your kid put it back in there empty? Has anybody found that? Empty. Has anybody gone to pay for something and found out that your bank account was empty? Or how about maybe when you've lost a close one, your heart just feels empty? You know, a lot of times emptiness means disappointment. Emptiness means misery. Emptiness means disappointment. Emptiness means depression. Emptiness means sadness. Emptiness can mean heartache. Except when it doesn't. The tomb is empty. He is risen. So we're going to talk about the good empty today. But let's go through this. I just read the Easter event to you, that first Easter morning, a few minutes ago. Let's talk about this event. That first Easter morning was full of empty. All the different kinds of empties that I just talked about. And so the first person that is on the scene here is Mary Magdalene. Now, this is very interesting that she is the first one to the tomb. She's the very first person to the tomb. I have some pictures here to walk through it with you. She gets there and finds that the tomb is empty. And so Mary Magdalene jumps to conclusions and assumes that Jesus has been taken, has been kidnapped. Now see, that was one of the things that the Jews used later on to try to, you know, speak against the resurrection, that Jesus didn't really rise, somebody just stole his body. And so Mary Magdalene is like, I got to go tell the disciples what I have found. Speaking of the disciples, where are the disciples? Why is Mary Magdalene the first person on the scene? Why is she the first one to go to the tomb? What's up with the disciples? Well, if you can remember from Thursday night and Friday night, what did the disciples do? They were all terrified. They were all scared. They're still hiding, possibly in the upper room. They're fearful. They're afraid what happened to Jesus is going to happen to them because they were Jesus' disciples. So they don't want to be seen by anybody. They're hiding. Just like what they did that night when Jesus was arrested, they abandoned Jesus and left him to fend for himself. So they're hiding, and Mary Magdalene goes to them to tell them what's up. And she talks to Peter, and the text that we get here in John is we get this, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, who's writing the book of John? It's John. John's talking about himself. So it's Peter and John are the ones that Mary Magdalene tells, and so they realize, well, we got to go see what's going on. And John gives us this fascinating details of what happens, and we get the very first annual empty tomb dash. They tell us that they are running to the tomb to see what's going on, and John, the writer of John, I always find this comical because I like dry humor. What does John tell us? That isn't really necessary to the whole story. He beat Peter. He had to throw that in there just to dig that into Peter a little bit. He was faster than Peter. So that's John in the front there. And so John beats Peter to the tomb. But he waits for Peter. He doesn't want to go into the tomb because he's probably still a little scared and waits for Peter. He'll let the older guy, slower guy, go in. And so Peter goes in and finds that what Mary Magdalene had told them is true. The tomb is empty. And we get some very interesting details again from John. The linens that they wrapped Jesus' body in, the ones that went around all of his body, were laying on the floor, on the ground of the tomb, and the one that is wrapped around the head is folded up nicely at the head where Jesus' head would have been laying. Now, why would John give us this detail? Well, go back to what I was saying, that the Jews later on are going to try to discredit this whole event. And one of the things they're going to say is that, well, maybe grave robbers stole the body of Jesus. Well, what robbers would fold only part of the claws and leave them laying there? And the rest of them just kind of hang there. This is exactly how Jesus would have gotten up when he rose, kicked off all of the linens that were on his body, and then the stuff on his face, he just took off his head, folded it up nicely, and put it on the tomb ledge where he was laying. Everything in the Bible matters. Everything is intentional. And so we get this very fascinating details from John. So, they find out that Jesus is gone. The tomb is empty. So what did John and Peter do, did the text tell us? They were so excited, they yelled to each other, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. Nope. They go home. That's what the passage tells us. They find this out, and they're like, okay, well, the tomb's empty. Let's go back home and hide. That's what they do. They go back home to where they think they're safe. There's no leaps of joy. There's no excitement. There's no hope. They just go home. And so Mary must have been just astonished at watching, you know, John and Peter just go home. And she stays at the tomb and starts weeping, John tells us. Of course, she's sad. Not only has she lost Jesus, her Savior and her dear friend, she doesn't know where the body is. She stoops down and looks in the tomb and finds two angels. And this is another fascinating detail that just jumps out at me every time I read this in John chapter 20. So the angels ask her, you know, who are you looking for? And Mary just responds to them. How many of you would just respond to a couple of angels that just popped up in your home? Mary is really cool, calm and collected. She just responds to the angels like it's no big deal that two angels are talking to her. And she answers them. She's looking for her Lord. In the next picture, this is what happened as she's weeping by the tomb. We know, of course, it's Jesus that comes up behind her. She doesn't recognize him. So think about it for a second. I thought about this. Why wouldn't she recognize Jesus? Well, remember the last time she saw Jesus, Scripture tells us that he was beaten beyond human recognition. He was all full of blood and black and blue and cuts and everything. That's the last time she had seen her Savior as they were taking him off the cross. And now there's this guy talking to her behind her. She doesn't recognize him. She even turns and looks at him, but doesn't recognize him. You know, at the beginning of this message, I talked about different times, you know, we feel empty. And, you know, anywhere from an empty gas tank to an empty heart, there's all kinds of different times that we feel empty. And death maybe is the number one thing that can really make us feel empty. And this is where Mary Magdalene was at. This is how empty she was feeling. So let me ask you this question this Easter morning, 2022. What has you feeling empty right now? Is there anything that has just got you feeling empty. You know, a lot of times we try to fill this empty on our own with money or our job or stuff or what our kids are doing or whatever. And none of these things are bad. But we usually find, don't we, that these things really don't fill that empty. Even though we think they might for a little bit fill that empty. But they just don't do it like we thought they would. And so you know what? I want you to especially take home today on this Easter is that Jesus is the one that fills the empty. And so we were talking about this in our staff meeting this last week. And to be honest with you, this is my first Easter sermon as a pastor, or as anything really. And I got to be honest with you, I struggled with what do I talk about? You would think this would be the most easy sermon, wouldn't you? Well, it isn't. I didn't know what to say for the longest time. I'm like, I don't know what to say. Yeah, the tomb's empty. Okay. What else? One of the staff people's like, well, maybe you could say, what difference does Easter make? And I was like, you know what? That's a pretty good question. What difference does this Easter event really make? Well, I have up there on the screen. It makes all the difference, and here's why. This is what being a Christian is all about. This is what being a follower of Jesus Christ is all about. And on this next screen slide here, I have, without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. We have no joy. We have no excitement. All we have is empty without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is why Easter matters. You know, I read somewhere where there's over 4,000 different world religions. And I'm talking about the religions, you know, like Muslim, Buddhism, Hinduism, etc., etc., etc. But there's only one where the tomb is empty. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is not in the tomb anymore. All those leaders of those other religions, they're still in the tomb. Our Savior defeated sin, death, and the devil once and for all. I've said this before, you know, after Jesus died on that cross, when we say in the creed, you know, he descended into hell, he went down there and did his touchdown dance. Said, you know what, Satan, you're done. I've defeated you. I've defeated death. And we don't have to worry anymore about death or be scared of it because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. We are tied to Jesus in his death, which means that we are tied to Jesus in his resurrection, which means, you know what? We will rise again, just like he did. There's one other fascinating nugget in this text from John chapter 20. And it's at the very end when Mary is talking to Jesus and she doesn't recognize him. When does Mary recognize Jesus? When he calls her by her name. That's when she recognizes Jesus. When he says, Mary. And this should, of course, you know, the crimson thread, how it ties all Scripture together beautifully, can remind us of John chapter 10, where Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. And he talks about when he calls out, his sheep know his voice. We are his sheep. He is our good shepherd. And I have there on the screen, Jesus calls each and every one of you by your name. You can put your name in there. Because that's how much our shepherd loves and cares for us. He knows you by name and calls you by name. And there is no need anymore to fear death, to fear the things of this world, because this good shepherd, who is also the Lamb of God, who died on the cross, is reigning on the throne already. So no matter what happens in this world, Jesus has already won. He's our true king. It doesn't matter who our leaders are. It doesn't matter who any world leader is. Jesus is our king forever. And there is no need anymore to feel empty, because the tomb is empty. He is indeed risen. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you this Easter day praising and giving thanks to you for sending Jesus, who destroyed sin, death, and the devil through his death and resurrection. We truly know that our Redeemer lives. We ask that you give us the pure joy and strength to share this good news of this day to whoever you may put in our paths. We pray for comfort and protection to all those who are suffering. We pray for healing to all those who are sick, injured, or recovering. And we have a long list, Heavenly Father. We pray for Donalyn. We pray for those suffering with cancer. We pray for Daphne, Larry, Terry, Reverend Doubleday, Jeff, Sherry, Whitey, John, Mona, Rachel, and Gail. Father, we pray for those who are struggling in other health-related issues, who need your healing. We pray for baby Benton and Rennie and Josh and Rosie and Brad and Jennifer, Aaron, Jackie, Mike, and Adam, Peter, Marty, Adeline, Rachel, and Bethany. There are so many, and I'm sure there's so many more that we do not have on this list. Father, you know each and every circumstance. We pray that you be with them all. Comfort them and heal them and remind them of what you have done for them. We pray for comfort for those who have lost a loved one. Remind them of the hope they have, because Jesus rose from the dead, so will all of us. And then today especially, we ask that you comfort the family of Elaine Jones, who lost her sister. Be with them and comfort them. We pray for our country and all our leaders. Please guide them to follow your word. We ask for the peace that only you can give. And we pray for all of us here at Promise. We ask for your guidance and direction in all that we do, helping us to always keep Jesus Christ number one on our priority list. And we now pray together as a family of God the prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And so, I don't know if you can tell, we also have amazing flowers up here, by the way. And we have been donated, in honor of the 25th anniversary that we saw, new communion ware. It's very shiny and new. And so we are thankful to the family that has donated this for us to use. And we want to bless this new communion ware into use here at Promise. And so will you please pray with me? Most gracious God and Father, whose only begotten Son instituted this meal that we are going to partake here in a little bit. Bless this communion ware for use at the altar of your church. Grant that all who eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ from these vessels may rejoice in the forgiveness of sins life and salvation given to them in this meal. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.